Psalm 118 is a psalm which is called a messianic psalm, and in it, it reminds us that God is the one who's in charge in a time of war, in a time of difficulty, because Jesus comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and he brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me, is my helper. I look to triumph in my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surround me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and all about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In that psalm, we have pictures of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem, and people with their palms bowing down and worshipping Jesus. And it's a beautiful picture. And thank you.
Matthew 21, starting at verse 1. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus at the temple. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. The fig tree withers. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately, the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer."
Let's take a moment to be still and quiet before God. Father, as we turn to your word, still our hearts and quiet our minds. Prepare us to hear your voice, to understand your truth, and to respond with obedience and joy. Let the message of Christ enter deeply into our hearts and lives today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Palm Sunday invites us into a moment of holy tension, a moment of celebration yet deep challenge. It's a day full of choices for those who listen to Jesus' challenges, as reflected in your lives and my lives. We have choices to make, and the big thing of this day is to recognize Jesus for who he is, or to turn away. That's the choice. And life, of course, is full of small choices and big choices. Today you've already decided what to have, tea or coffee, what you're going to wear, what kind of day you're going to have. But Palm Sunday confronts us with the most important choice of all. What will we do with Jesus? What will we do with Jesus? Life has few answers. It's mostly about choices. And J.K. Rowling once wrote, she said, "It's our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities." Choices are so very, very important. You're here this morning because the result of many, many choices. Education, job, life partner, place to live, houses to buy, age to retire, what to fulfill your retirement with. And Jesus offered his hearers a choice at that same time. Follow me and live forever. Reject me and reject God. And I think that choice still exists for every human being today. What will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him or reject him? Follow me or reject God, he says. We all have tough decisions ahead, and we will still have tough decisions ahead. No matter what our age, decisions are not just about young people. There are elderly people and older people and young people, and all people have these choices. But Jesus says, "Will you choose to make me your king, King of Kings?" On this event we call Palm Sunday, and forgive the slip up, but I was thinking of the reform candidate, I won't mention his name, who called this Psalm Sunday and said that it was important for it to be remembered instead of Palm Sunday. But on this event we call Palm Sunday, Jesus is forcing a choice. It's a provocative thing to do, to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. as I read in Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, excuse me, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus was forcing the issue. He was pushing people. He was pushing them to the point where they had to say, "What is happening?" Here, Jesus finally says, "My time has come." All through Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel and Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel, he has these sayings where he says, "My time has not yet come. It's not yet time. It's not time right now." And now suddenly, the time has come. And timing is an essential part of how God works. This open invitation to follow Jesus existed. But now comes the crunch time. Make your mind up time. I think that comes from a TV program, doesn't it? Make your mind up time. Anyway, it was make your mind up time for those who saw Jesus. And Jesus' choice of a transport is not accidental. A warrior rides a horse. A servant king rides donkey. I was watching the investment of the new archbishop this week and was astounded by the amount of fancy clothes and fancy hats and mitres and everything else that went into it. Jesus chose the most humble, the most inefficacious way of entering Jerusalem. He enters not to crush, but to save. The king rides a donkey. Not to dominate, but to redeem. The king rides a donkey. Not to take power, but lay down his life. The king rides a donkey. And many accuse God of inaction. Where is your God in this situation? In the Middle East right now, people are saying, "Where is your God? Why is it that these wars seem to be about God?" In Gaza, in Ukraine, in Africa. I think scripture tells us that we pray that we don't see God in action. And by that I mean when God's wrath is unleashed. Hebrews 10 verse 31 has a very stark warning. It says, "It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And when time is right, we will see God in action. It will be a terrible day for those who choose not to believe in Jesus, but a glorious day for believers. In the meantime, we have a choice. The kingdom of God is about choice. Choose life, reject life. For us, this means we betray the real Jesus, not this weak, pale imitation that the world thinks it knows. Again, in the investiture of the Archbishop, they talked about Jesus being meek and mild. Well, I don't see that weak or meek, mild portrayal of Jesus. I think that's a pale imitation that the world thinks it knows. Cut through the rubbish and we too behold the man, like Pilate says, someone we can't ignore. And in Jesus' way, he was sometimes repelled by people. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Romans, people of education and power, saw Jesus as a threat to the status quo. They were angry at Jesus. They thought he was trouble. They were right. So they complained and caused ructions. Jesus is trouble. He challenges us, makes us uncomfortable. He calls out the fakes and takes on the government. Jesus is the original one who said, "This is fake news." Jesus is the one who was repelled by some. But some were disappointed. There was another group in the crowd. Those who thought Jesus was here to evict the Romans. To them, he was the conquering Messiah. And they were all great followers, saying, "Hosanna to the King of Kings." Until he no longer did what they wanted. They had their own agenda for Jesus. As soon as it became clear his role was not to kick out the Romans, they, like the others, turned from singing Hosanna to crucify him. For this is a reminder of being a follower of Jesus does not include dictating God's schedule to him. Many will still follow Jesus today as long as he gives them what they want. I want to know, has your love grown cold because Jesus hasn't given you what you thought you deserved, what you thought you were owed? Because Jesus has not delivered on what you wanted. Many do. You're not alone. Maybe your life is hard at the moment. Maybe you have been following Jesus for a long time and there's still a feeling of disappointment in your life. Through work, family, health, finance, church, relationships, whatever it is, feeling that this isn't quite the way I wanted it to be, and your heart grows cold. Jesus is King. Somebody once said many years ago, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And we need to remember that. But some believed. Some believed. I want to be in that number. The number that say, Jesus, you are life. Jesus, you are Redeemer. Jesus, you are Christ. Jesus, you are Lord. Those that follow Jesus had their lives at risk. When we get into the New Testament book of Acts, we find that some of them lost their lives because they followed Jesus. I want to be amongst that crowd. I want to be amongst that number. And then Jesus offers you this other challenge. He says, will you choose to live the life I offer? Because this event is all about choice, as I said. Living for Jesus or living for yourself. The question is, have our lives become polluted by the world? We've looked at the cleansing of the temple in past sermons since I've been here. And I said that there was probably two events, one at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and now this one at the end. This is the second one. And it's a story about cleansing, about transformation. Palm Sunday invites us to behold the real Jesus, the Jesus who confronts injustice, the Jesus who demands allegiance, the Jesus who brings salvation, the Jesus who overturns tables, the Jesus who heals, restores and reigns. To meet this Jesus to a face-to-face decision, because he can't be ignored. You know, the temple courtyard was probably the size of Bramley Shopping Centre. And it was full of animals and changes of money and all sorts of marketplace people. And Jesus drove them all from that temple. Jesus meek and mild? I don't think so. He was furious. He had righteous anger. Choose life and you will be purified, be made new. Now, many people today will go for Botox and facelifts and something called a Brazilian butt lift. Don't ask me what it is, but there we go. Tummy suction, etc. to make us completely new. But the fact is it doesn't. Because inside we're still the same. But Jesus wants to totally remake us in the best possible way we can be. To change us from the inside out, to make us more like him. Jesus wants that in our hearts, to clear the rubbish, the wrong thoughts, the bitterness, the jealousy. Paul in Ephesians 4 writes, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Or as the Message puts it, the same verse, it says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with each other, sensitive, forgive one another quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. It's the harder path. It's not the easy path. And if you're not finding the Christian life hard, perhaps you're doing something wrong. It's meant to be a challenge, but the result is wholeness, purpose, presence. Choosing Jesus is the harder choice for the harder path. And then we come on to an interesting story. The cursing of the fig tree. You may think that it's a different story and something unconnected to Palm Sunday, but I think that the two are very much connected. It's a complex story combined with the previous episodes, but it's about, again, another choice, not to choose barrenness. All is needed for us to reject Christ's call in our life is to live as though he doesn't exist. That's our default. That's where we come from. And this isn't aimed at non-believers, but at the religious. The fig tree, you see, was a picture of Israel in the Old Testament. Time and time again, Jesus and God in the Old Testament writings referred to Israel as being like a fig tree. And this fig is a tree is in bloom, and it should have had fruit. The tree proclaimed promise. It was an acted out parable because Jerusalem showed bloom too. It showed the possibility of fruit. It had all the sacrifices. It had all the worshippers. It had all the center of the religious life of Israel. But no fruit. No fruit. The religious looked fruitful, acted fruitful, but in fact were barren. And Jesus condemns such behavior. Revelation 3 verse 14 has some very disturbing words. It says, "The angel of the Lord to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Will you choose to bear fruit or just appear to? That's the choice that we are given." So the conclusion is, will you choose Jesus as King? Will you choose life in Christ? Will you choose to bear fruit? The choice is yours, the choice is mine. We simply need to choose Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are uncompromising when it comes to our faith. You want us to choose you as King. Choose you as the one who will change us and give us life in you. To choose to have bear fruit and not to be barren. Lord, may we be blessed by our choices we take in this coming week as we choose to follow you. Lord, hear us in this, we pray. Amen.